Sorry, can everyone just take a second, because I want to make sure that there is just no noise on this podcast. I want a silent situation. I want nothing to happen. I want everyone to know that there is no noise happening, because we cancelled it on the noise cancelling podcast. But we're joking, because if you had no noise, the podcast would be terrible. It would just be silence. It would be modern art, and we're not about that. We are the Noise Cancelling Podcast, here to tell you about tech and all things tech, and hopefully pretend we know things about things tech and tell you about them. Anyway, that's just going on down a slightly strange tangent. Cherie, take it back.
I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Chelsea Goad. I write and make cool science content for space.com.
And I'm Henry T. Casey, editor at TomsGuide.com, covering everything from streaming to laptops to tablets, even though Sri doesn't believe in tablets.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. I feel outnumbered in terms of being UK, but hopefully you'll find me charming in some odd and unpredictable way. Chelsea, lovely to have you here. This is the first time we've had someone who basically is from space.
Yes, I actually live in space. I was born in space, and I'm excited to be joining you guys.
This is completely off topic, but we were outside of the day trying to teach a five-year-old about the sky, and it sort of came up that the sky is essentially everywhere because it doesn't stop at any point. And I got into a really sort of like quintessentially confused state about where, you know, where the sky begins and ends and where space is and everything. I'm like, are we all in space all the time?
We're in space all the time. There's actually a specific line. It's called the Kármán line, and it's 62 miles above Earth's surface. And that's kind of where we say that space begins, because, you know, if we were actually out in space all the time, we wouldn't be breathing that well. So we're kind of in Earth's atmosphere, but technically we're on a big rock floating through space. So yeah.
So what happens to that line?
I mean, nothing really happens. It's kind of just a more like it's an arbitrary boundary. But at that line, I mean, you're in the vacuum of space. There's not really much atmosphere left, and you couldn't exactly poke your head out of the vehicle or plane you were in and just breathe the air. So yeah.
Okay. I mean, we've got a running order. We work hard. We look at production meetings, and straight away I've been like, where is Sky? Hello, space person. So thank you for that. But yeah, we're really excited. Space.com is obviously another one of Future Publishing, who are in charge of Tech Radar, Laptop Mag, Tom's Guide. Space.com is a lovely bedfellow as well for that. So we're really excited to have you in, Chelsea. So thank you for coming on. I've realized I've not actually looked at your last name properly. I've been thinking it's Chelsea Gold the whole time.
That's okay. I've gotten Gold. I've gotten God. I've gotten Gould. Pretty much every pronunciation in the book, so no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm disappointed. It's just, you know, Gold is gone. So, Cherie, how have you been?
Pretty good, you know, get root canals, like, writing, reviewing root canals, you know.
I mean, it's just one root canal. We shouldn't be going on to make it sound like you've done, like, review, gone back.
Oh, no, there's another one that's coming, so it's canals.
Oh, geez, seriously? Oh, yeah. God.
So you're living near me on Root Canal Street these days.
Pretty much. Like, I had a bike accident when I was a kid, and it's coming to bite me now.
Wait, what? How does that work? You had a bike accident, and what? The bike got lodged in your mouth?
Basically, I flipped over the bike and slid up the avenue on my face and broke my three front teeth. My whole right side of my face was basically off. And I still, like, thankfully you can bounce a kid. Like, if you don't, theoretically, if you don't say anything to a kid when they get hurt, you can kind of bounce a kid and they'll, like, bounce back. Like
you're all right. You're fine. You're fine.
Nah.
Well, okay, I think we should move on from the trauma. Well, it's good to have you here, Cherie. Thank you very much. And Henry, welcome. I mean, obviously you're a long time fan of the podcast, I assume.
First time, long time, or however that works out. Yeah, no, big fan, huge fan of all the good shows, and excited to be here.
Yeah, and what's been big in your week so far? Not work related, but, you know, living in the world that we live in.
Just trying to cook more often and not. And so I've just learned recently from a friend that the best way to preserve and reheat pizza is actually to wrap slices in aluminum foil individually and then put them in Ziploc bags and then reheat them later. And it's almost like you never put them in the fridge at all. I was sort of amazed by that little life hack. But no, just living my little life down here in the city. Life is normal.
Good. Oh, well, I feel like that's a positive message. And I like that. Thank you. Right. I feel like we should go and talk about some actual tech things, but not just tech this week. It's also spacey stuff. So, Chelsea, Chelsea, start us off. I feel like you're our guest of honor here. Let's tell us about space. We already covered where it is, so that's a big tip.
So now that we know where space is, this is actually a pretty huge week for space in general.
Space is big. I know that far.
And actually, exactly 1 week from today, there will be the first crewed launch to orbit from America since Shuttle ended. So astronauts have been launching from Kazakhstan since 2011 when Shuttle ended. And finally, we are figuring out how to do it here again. And so two NASA astronauts who've flown 100 times, they're super, super pros. They're going to launch on a SpaceX capsule. So it's going to be big because it's crewed, but it's also commercial. So that's a huge deal. So everyone's super excited about it. But of course, they're launching people to space in the middle of a pandemic. So everything's extra complicated. And also, just to add on top of it, NASA's head of human spaceflight resigned literally yesterday. So it's a big week for space. It's also a weird week for space. But yeah, it's exciting.
What does this mean to the average person who's like, airspace, what's going on with that? You know, what does this mean for the future of space travel?
I think it means that basically it's going to be easier, quote unquote, easier to get people to space. So the whole point of this whole mission is to figure out a way to get people to and from the space station easier, more often, more cost effective. And so obviously for science, that's great because you can fly more astronauts up, fly more experiments up, do cool science on the space station. But SpaceX is also planning on using this same vehicle for space tourism. They've actually signed two deals already with two companies, and they're working on, in the next who knows how many years, they say just a few years, we'll see if that happens, but they're actually going to start working on not only launching like private citizens as tourists into space, but this one company, Axiom, is actually going to be building a commercial module onto the space station. So basically, like, I wouldn't say space hotel, but I mean, the space station is basically just a laboratory, but this would be, you know, just for commercial exploits. So it could be anything. It could be them sending people up who just have a ton of money and want to hang out in space. It could be them sending up, you know, Willie Nelson just to say they did. and so it's a huge launch for science, but it's also a big step forward for commercial spaceflight, which is so exciting because that means that, you know, basically just more people are going to be going to space. And so if you want to go to space or you just want to hear about more space adventures, there are going to be more people having more space adventures.
Cherie, I think you're going to be the first person to have a space adventure. Is that fair?
I would love to have a space adventure if I could afford it. Like, how much do you think that this is going to cost for the average person? Is this going to be like a William Branson type of space travel situation, Lance Bass, or like will average Joes like us be able to get up into space one day?
Well, I mean, obviously, when it first starts out, it's going to be insanely cost prohibitive. I mean, right now, Virgin Galactic they've already sold tickets to space because they have their own thing going on. And they're not even planning on taking people to the space station. Theirs is just an 11-minute trip up to space and back again, right above that line and back again. And it's something like $250,000 for a ticket for that, like, 10-minute ride. So that's completely insane to me, unless you're like some kind of billionaire. But I mean, you know, they're kind of, I guess, trying to compare it to other modes of transportation and how cost prohibitive they were when they started out. And so I think it's something that will always be probably forever expensive. But I hope that at some point in time, it will at least be within, you know, some kind of attainable reach for some kind of non Scrooge McDuck person to feasibly consider it, you know.
It feels like the phrase "in this economy" has never been more relevant to space travel.
though Cherie, you and me can go up as journalists. It's chill. We'll figure it out.
Like the closest I've been to space so far is the Vomit Comet.
Oh my god! Yeah, I was actually supposed to go on the Vomit Comet last week. I'd been planning it for months, and I got invited to go, and that didn't happen. But hopefully we'll all get our taste of zero gravity at some point.
For those of us who have not been on or gotten a chance to book a ride on it, can you explain to us lay people what the Vomit Comet is?
So basically, yeah. It's a plane that it's a tricked out plane that it takes, like, it was formerly a commercial plane. They've taken out all the seats except for the front row, like the first class seats. And you basically, like, they get you to a certain altitude and you're going up, like, you hit these hills. So you go up. And then when you go down, you hit 0G.
Oh.
And, like, so the one I went on took you on. We went on, like, 2 or 3 runs. And we had different levels of weightlessness. So we had moon weightlessness and Mars weightlessness. And I forgot what the other one was. And it lasts, like, it's so short. It lasts, like, 30 seconds. Like, you've got 30 seconds of weightlessness and you're floating and you're doing all these flips, but, like, you have to pay attention because once it comes out of the arc, like, you will fall and it will a hard fall.
Yeah, it's...
And you'll need a root canal.
Yeah.
Did you vomit?
I did not, but some people on the flight, I have a pretty strong stomach, so, but some people on the flight did, and I'm glad that they just sat them down and, like, gave them their bags, because I don't think, like, I don't want those little globules, because...
No, especially, yeah. Like, you know, it goes back over that arc, and all of a sudden you're floating, and you're floating with all that fun stuff.
Nope. Like, nope. But they did have candy for us. They threw candy at us for us to catch while it was weightless.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that.
Well, I'm going to... I mean, I feel like we've touched on space up there in the sky. And I'm going to wrestle back slightly to some tech stuff. I say wrestle back. I didn't... You know, we did invite Chelsea on here and asked to talk about space. It's not like she's just taken over. But there is what we could call slightly boring news, but I think it's actually really important, about Chrome. Google Chrome, this web browser that loads and loads of people are using, is getting a little less power hungry. And that may sound like nothing, but I think every single one of us who uses Chrome is just so angry at how much power that thing takes. This seems like a good thing, right?
Yeah, it's a battery killer, and it's been a battery killer for way too long. It's the reason why people have run off to try to use alternatives. One of the reasons, privacy being the other, why people try to see if they can do on Safari or the new Firefox or Edge. And it's, but if those people don't find the same successes, whatever, on those browsers, they come back to Chrome, and Chrome continues to disappoint by just draining your battery faster than a gas guzzling convertible. Like, it's just not a great situation. How is it doing this, by the way? Is this the ads? It's not going to be running intense. Like, what is the actual behind the scenes change?
Well, so Chelsea, what do you use a Chrome loser or what at the moment?
Oh yeah, I mean, my battery is always trash because of Chrome, but I always, just because I'm always, like, you know, doing research for pieces, I always have about 6,000 tabs open. And so I found it's just the only one that I can really make that work with. But it also is just, yeah, all of my batteries have just gone absolutely to nothing. But I haven't found any good alternative for me personally. I'd love one, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and Henry, the answer is, yeah, it's adverts. It's not all adverts, though. It's not going to just get rid of all adverts and make it easier. It's like the statement was that they discovered a fraction of a percent of ads that consume like a huge amount of resource. And so they're basically just going to identify those and just shut those guys down. And that'd be amazing. If I could just stop hearing my fan going crazy every 10 seconds when I'm trying to do something, it would be amazing.
Yeah, that's... You know when Chrome is running because it sounds like the wind tunnel is going on inside your laptop. It's never delightful.
I mean, the other problem with Chrome is that it also takes up massive resources from your processor. So, like, it's making your processor work harder, which is, in turn, draining your battery. But I say that as I'm looking at about 32 open tabs in Chrome because I can't quit you, Chrome.
So, my recommendation for that, there's this really good Chrome extension called OneTab. If you don't use it so far, this is my recommendation for the day. You click that and it brings in all your tabs to one page and has a list of all the open tabs that you had. So you can go back and find them, and it gives you that page every time you click it.
I was going to say that I've used one to keep shutting down tabs that I don't use. And I thought, this is great. And then I realized quite quickly that I'd screwed myself over because I needed things open maybe an hour later.
Yep, I just leave them open. That's like thousands of tabs. It's fine.
I've just counted. I've got 3 different Chrome windows open at the moment. And I've got, oh, crap, there's even more there. I've got 50 tabs. This is ridiculous.
See, I'd be worried about that because we're recording the podcast on the same computer. So I only have 4 Chrome windows open and about 10 tabs total.
That's
healthy for me. We're doing a podcast. I don't want to – this laptop is not the strongest – it's not the most new thing ever. So I want to make sure my resources aren't being destroyed so I can not have my audio break up on this call because I don't trust anything.
Well, I'm recording on a separate device because that's the professional that I am.
Yeah, I've got 40 tabs. 40 tabs, one window.
I'm not sure if I'm proud that I'm winning or not. So the final thing I want to talk about this week, iOS 13.5 is on its way forward. So iPhone users getting a bit of an update. Doesn't sound that much of a big deal, much like Chrome. But the idea here is that it'll make it easier for using a face mask to actually unlock your iPhone, which actually, yep, I think a pretty important thing. It's not, you're not going to be able to use Face ID. That's obvious because you're cutting out half your face and there's no way around that. But you can, it will more quickly get you to the passcode so you can tap that end smoother. That seems like a good move.
Yep. I am waiting for this to happen. I check updates available on Apple typically does 1 p.m. Eastern for their updates. So I've been opening system preferences and checking every day at 1 p.m. waiting for this. I haven't pre-written a story about this at all. I did not do that. When I'm out in the field, the amount of time I waste trying to get to the unlock screen, it's huge. Also, it's going to make group FaceTime easier, so it's not going to be automatically shifting the size of everything, and it's going to be more like Zoom, because everything needs to be more like Zoom.
I feel like that's the one thing that I like about my Pixel phone better than other phones. It kind of sucks on, like, all fronts, but it's really easy to open real quick. So that's something.
Well, I feel like we've covered space, we've covered batteries, we've covered iPhones. I mean, that's basically everything in the world, so that's pretty good. Right, I think we should take a quick break there and move on to the labs in a second. See you in a sec. And we're back. This is the Noise Cancelling Podcast. I don't know why I always do that, just in case somebody has just joined at this very point in a podcast. I don't think many people do that, but just in case they've just jumped randomly into any point and it's that just after the ad break, there you go, noise cancelling. It's with Cherie, Henry, Chelsea and Gareth. Hi.
Hi
Cherie, where are we going now? Where are we going?
We're going into the labs. Laptops and telescopes and tablets and who knows what else. We're going into the labs. Join us.
Well, we've got a lot to talk through today, and we're already massively overrunning with our news, love. So that's really good to start with. Henry, you put in the running order lots of things. Tell me your favorite one.
My favorite one, I'm really surprised to say this because I've never been the biggest fan of Microsoft's like hardware, but the Surface Go 2 is a really interesting device because they fixed a lot of what was wrong with the Surface Go 1. Battery life is significantly better this time. I believe it hit 11 hours and 39 minutes on our web surfing based on Wi-Fi test, which is at 150 nits of brightness. And also, it just looks a little nicer because the display bezels aren't as chunky. No bezel shaming here, but it does look a little more modern. And the webcam, Microsoft gets really big points for me for putting a 5-megapixel webcam in the front facing screen, so you don't look like you're peeping like through a hole of a porthole or something like weird, like on every Zoom call I'm on, like it just doesn't look good. Like, but this is actually a webcam that records 1080p video, so you could probably also use it to make your like quarantine vlog, like I keep threatening to make. And I really like this. I'm new to this sort of line, so I'm not the biggest fan of the keyboard. I think there's a learning curve with the type cover keyboards. But I really like the Surface Go 2. Cherie, have you gotten to see this yet? Or what's laptop's opinion on the Surface Go 2?
We pretty much share the same opinion. Like we're loving the battery life because the first Surface Go, it was barely clearing 8 hours. So over 11 hours, we love slimmer bezels. Slimmer bezels are always great. I wish they could have slimmed them down a little bit more, like going from 10 inches to 10.5. Yeah, that's good. But let's slim it down a little bit more. Give us 11. Give us 11.5. Push the boundaries. No product ever should ever, ever, ever start with whatever bastard child of Windows Microsoft consistently puts on this tablet. You can't do
S mode.
No one wants S mode. No one wants it. It's for stifle. S is for stifle. It's for stiff. It's for shenanigans. No one wants it.
For those who don't know, S mode means you can only install apps from the Windows App Store, and it really pushes the Edge browser on you, which has gotten better, but whatever. The good thing is you can disable S mode like that. It doesn't take much. You just have to know to do it.
But once you do it, you can never go back.
You would never want to, would you?
No, not at all.
Also, it's a really good screen, I think, for this price. I believe its starting price is $399, and it's both bright and colorful for that price point. I compare it to like the iPad Air or just regular iPad, and it's got a display that competes, which it should as a tablet, because what is a tablet other than a display?
So this is the first time you've actually enjoyed a Windows tablet?
This is the first time I've really liked or seen a tablet I could use myself that isn't from Apple. Like, I've tested Samsung Galaxy tablets, and they're interesting, but like, I've never really gotten Android apps on tablets are still in a very bad growth spurt point in their lives. Sheree, is that a fair assessment?
The last tablet that I actively acknowledged was the NVIDIA Shield tablet. That's how long ago I stopped acknowledging tablets.
So, yeah, I think that this is a really good option. It would be a lot less compelling in a weird way if the Surface Pro 7 had better battery life. The Surface Pro, which is more expensive, had much worse battery life in our tests, which is not a good sign. We're hoping that the Surface Pro 8 can hold up to the Surface Go's or 2 battery life when it comes out. It's supposed to this year, we think, but we'll see what happens.
And Chelsea, do you use tablets?
I have never owned or really used a tablet. I mean, they seem cool and handy. I mean, under normal circumstances, I do a lot of traveling for my job. So it seems like something that would be handy, but I usually need the full facilities of my laptop. So it seems like cute and fun, but I just have never felt compelled to own a tablet. So I'm a little bit of a tablet noob. Seems cool. Just, you know.
Would they use tablets in space?
Oh yeah. They do use tablets actually on the space station. Because you know, they're lightweight and all that jazz. I mean, they obviously have laptops and more bulkier tech up there too. But I'm fairly sure I've seen them up there with some tablets. Actually, recently there was an Italian astronaut from the European Space Agency who used a tablet to do a DJ set from the space station back when people could still gather and dance. So that was interesting.
Actually, that brings a weird question to my mind about space and technology. Would key mechanisms be any different in zero gravity? Would there be more resistance, do you think, in the pushing and pressing or would that not be affected by the lack of gravity?
That's a good question. I don't think it would be like, I don't think the keys themselves would really change that much. But I think just because from what I've heard from people who've actually been to space, just moving in general, especially like fine movement like that is pretty difficult. And it just takes a little bit more finessing in time. There's a little bit of a learning curve, I'm sure, but you know, they don't seem to have any real trouble with it. And that's interesting. I've never actually thought about it.
That is the nerdiest question we've ever had in this podcast. But, I mean, come on. I mean, I appreciate it. And it was contextually brilliant. But, you know, is it harder to push was it a mechanical keyboard or just general?
Just any key mechanism in general. It's always hard to push Apple's 2015 to 2019 keys. That's something that Apple has thankfully left in the past. The butterfly is dead. But, any key mechanism, really.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, please do tweet us, email in, find any way of letting us know whether you agree that was the worst question or just the nerdiest. But let's go back down to earth again. And one of the things that we've had in our Tech Radar Labs is the Samsung Q95T 4K QLED TV. My God, these TV names. I better say they don't get any better. This actually is better. Q95T kind of is much better than the 15 string long letters that we've had in the past. Have you guys seen this at all? And Tom's Guide, Henry? Or is that not what you're doing?
It's not my sort of vertical, if you will. But my question for you is, I've also done some work at Laptop Mag. We used to do decoder ring articles, figuring out how to figure out what the name means. What does the Q, the 95, and the T translate to?
It's Q.
Of this TV.
Q.
So the Q is the Q. I think is QLED. So that's obviously where that goes.
I would assume, yeah.
T, I'll be honest, no idea. For me, that makes very little sense. But what we've got with this one is, so the way that obviously we're looking right now is that the Q90 range from last year with Samsung's sort of flagship TV that was 4K. Now we get an 8K TVs coming in, and what Samsung's trying to do, we think, is kind of position 8K, you know, alongside 4K. It's like a sort of a natural progression. It's not like you either spend shitloads of money on an 8K TV or you do normal things and buy a 4K. This is kind of like trying to bridge that gap between 4K and 8K. So where the Q800T, which now I'm looking at it, I think the T just means this year, has come in. We haven't got that same sort of flagship thing that we had last year with the Q90R, for instance. What we are getting is basically a very similar spec list, even better in some cases, and it's a lot cheaper. So what we're seeing is that 8K world is coming in and it's pushing down the cost of flagship, in inverted commas, 4K TVs, which I think is pretty cool because for all I want to pretend that 8K is not useful and not a good thing, it really is. Like, sometimes when you watch like the kind of the capabilities of these TVs, you're like, this is genuinely a step forward, and it's really, really good.
Do you think the content makers are going to need to get a little bit of a push and a shove to make the 8K more compelling? Because Netflix still makes you pay more for 4K. Like, I feel like the 8K and 4K industries would be a lot more, it would seem a lot less far off as a necessity if the actual content was more readily available at that rate.
Yeah, and the same thing, like I've still got TV channels around here that's still in SD, so nothing's, you know, they still haven't made that difficult jump to HD. So I don't know, but then with the advent of, you know, broadband streaming being everywhere right now, and obviously, Henry, you know all about that, you know, the opportunity to deliver 8K is going to be much, much easier. So yeah, I think there's always going to be that barrier, isn't there? It's going to be difficult to just go, well, here's 8K for free. No one's going to do that. But
yeah,
I think I'm about to say when the Tokyo Olympics comes, we'll have an idea, but that's been delayed. So the 8K.
Yep. 2021.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we'll see there.
But Disney Plus at least is in 4K by default. I got to give them credit for that. They might not have had a big hit since Mandalorian, but they do have 4K by default, so all the Star Wars movies you can watch in 4K.
And Apple as well, you know, upgraded all of its devices to a lot of the films to 4K HDR for free, so that's pretty cool too. So it's nice to see that content out there.
Yep.
Cherie, I mean, how many TVs have you got that are 4K? How many are HD? Is it like 10 to 5 ratio or what?
All of my TVs are 4K.
That is the most, like, flex I've heard so far on the podcast.
And then when, like, once 8K starts becoming popularized, I'll start bringing in the 8Ks and start recycling the 4Ks throughout the house. And then, like, because, like, basically the cycle works, I bring in new TVs, and then, like, the older TVs will get donated out or something like that.
You know, getting rid of that garbage 4K eventually.
Well, it was the new, out with the old. Like, so the old stuff, like, I typically try to find schools or something to donate that stuff to.
Oh, well, now I feel bad. You're lovely, aren't you? Well done, you.
Sure, you're the philanthropist. We forget.
I have my moments. I have my moments of kindness.
And so, Cherie, you've chucked in the Alienware M17. Now, is this a niche gaming laptop? Is it actually something that everyone should know about?
The one that I am reviewing is very, 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 very niche. And so it's right up my alley. It starts at $1,500. So that is the one that most people will probably be attracted to. The one I am reviewing, because I firmly believe I am the incarnation of Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Techie, is priced at $3,500.
Yowie wowie.
It is a kitchen sink of awesomeness. Core i9 processor, 2080 super NVIDIA card, just balls to the wall power. And you do pay for that power. And you do pay for it in terms of pricing, and you pay for it in terms of battery life. But it is 17 inches, so, like, you're not going to really be carrying this laptop anywhere anyway, besides from one room to another. So on our battery test, it got like about 2 hours, which is for a gaming laptop of this caliber, that's pretty much on a button. It's not bad, not good. It's pretty much normal. But playing games on this, it's got a 4K display with a 60 hertz refresh rate. Absolutely gorgeous. One of the prettiest displays I've had the chance to play with this year. Incredibly bright, incredibly vivid. I have been having a blast reviewing it, but I would definitely recommend people start with the starter, $1,500, if you're going to start, because you get a 1080p display, you get 144 hertz refresh rate. And for all of those folks out there who love shooters like me, higher refresh rates means better accuracy, so you can place those headshots a lot better than you could with 60 hertz. I can't even explain it better than that. Like, all I know is that when I get higher refresh rates, like, those headshots are just hitting, like, you get a facial. You get a facial. Death for everyone.
We are running out of time again right now, but I want to go back to Chelsea very briefly beforehand, because we have got some more hot space chat to go through. I was going to say the James Webb Telescope. However, I'm trying to work out why Chelsea, because we're on a video chat right now. That's how we do things in isolation. And Chelsea is just seemingly walking around a house looking scared or furtive, like the purge is happening. I don't know. Is everything?
No, my phone has trash battery and it was just about to die. And I thought that I'd lost my charger, but I didn't. But then also at the same time as I was trying to plug it in while not unplug my laptop, which also has zero battery and can't be unplugged, my cat and my sister's cat started fighting. So bit of a chaotic moment, but you know, we're working through it.
Oh my God.
Everything that can go wrong will.
And all at the same time, of course. Of course, you know.
So James Webb Telescope, good telescope, bad telescope, big telescope, small one.
Huge telescope, great telescope, may eventually actually launch telescope. It's been in progress for forever and a day. It's set up to be basically the successor to Hubble, which has been like the gold standard for space observation and totally changed the game. But James Webb is a little bit different and it's huge. It's actually so big that they can't fit it in a rocket. So they literally have to like fold it up. It like self-folds and then will unfurl once in space because it literally is too big to fit in a literal rocket. But it's supposed to launch next summer. We'll see. My fingers are crossed. You know, if we want to check out dark matter and explore and discover and all that fun stuff. But yeah, it's really sick. It looks really cool, like a big gold honeycomb. It looks really cool.
Google it right now at home, everybody. James Webb Satellite Telescope. This thing looks like a video game or something. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's got these huge solar panels and they're literally like gold hexagonal honeycomb. I think there's actually a video of NASA testing it folding up and unfolding from like last week or the week before. And it's so cool. Maybe you'll only think it's really cool if you're a huge nerd, but I don't know. Maybe you're a huge nerd. I don't know. Like me. It's sick.
Should we take another break and then come back after this lovely message? Let's do that. So every week, Noise Cancelling Tech has got lovely sponsors to help us keep the lights on and do exactly what we're doing. And this week, we are joined by ExpressVPN. And it got me thinking, Cherie, do you ever do anything on the internet?
I mean, you know, time to time.
But is it like good stuff you don't want to see again?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I mean, I'm not accusing you of being nefarious or like doing something dodgy, or am I? Who knows? But I mean, you know, when you search for something over and over again and you see the same thing advertised to you every time you do something different?
Yes. You mean when I'm sitting there looking for barbecue grills and then barbecue grills are just everywhere I look? Yeah, I hate it.
Or the same pair of shoes that I looked at literally 2 months ago and they keep popping up again. Yeah, they keep popping through. The problem is that we're at home right now. We don't maybe consider our internet privacy as much because, you know, we're on a home network, we're doing our normal thing, but we are still being tracked all over the place. That's the key thing. But you can use a VPN, no longer an issue, right?
Absolutely. Hopefully.
I mean, the great thing is the internet providers can't track you. You know, IP is anonymized. So like the actual location of who you are and the identifiers are all gone right there. They're anonymized through thousands of other people. And ExpressVPN, it works on a tablet, It works on a laptop, it works on a phone and more. I've done it on all those things, done it in different countries, works pretty damn well. You can switch location easily, and also you can flip around in the settings to tailor connection speed, stability, depending on what it is that you actually need for any situation. And that's why it's our number one recommendation, Cherie.
That's amazing. Like, I am in the market. Like, I've been mulling it around, and I think this is going to be the week that I pull the trigger.
Well, luckily for you, if you protect your online activity today with VPN, you can use a special link that we've got on Noise Cancelling Podcast, which is expressvpn.com/noise, and you can get an extra 3 months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/noise. Started to go into a little song. expressvpn.com/noise to learn more. Guess what, everybody? It's the time of the day that everyone loves the most. Cherie, what is it?
It's unpopular opinions. Let your hate unfurl. What are we hating on today? I hope it's about tablets, because I hate tablets and Chromebooks and a few other things.
Should I also hate on tablets?
Everyone should hate on tablets.
I do. Like, I will say I have a crappy $100 Chromebook that I use for travel when I don't want to accidentally drop my computer and break it. And it hasn't been the worst thing in the entire world, I will say.
Cheap Chromebooks have their reasons.
Yes, it is. I want to talk about other people's unpopular opinions. People know about my unpopular opinions.
Yeah, but I want to find new ones. But yeah, you're right. Chelsea, space, is it getting dirty?
Space is getting dirtier 1,000%. There's something called space junk, which is literally trash that is orbiting around us. There's literally, like how Saturn has beautiful rings, we have a ring of literal trash orbiting around us. Old broken satellites and all kinds of fun, broken apart old spacecraft. And Elon Musk's, the company he founded, he's actually not the CEO of SpaceX, but he did found SpaceX, and they have kind of jumped on the bandwagon of launching constellations of satellites into orbit. And so they want to create worldwide incredible internet, but a lot of people are pretty mad. I mean, they're mad because it's space junk and it's thousands of more satellites, but, you know, low Earth orbit's a big enough area that it's not that big of a deal, but people are mostly mad because these satellites are pretty shiny. They reflect the sun. You could actually see them. They were actually flying over Essex the other week, and a bunch of people were tweeting out, "Oh my God, aliens, guys, aliens over Essex, UFOs," which makes my job a lot more interesting some days. But they're not aliens, and they mess up a lot of astronomers' observations because they're looking through a telescope and they're trying to look at planets and stars and cool stuff like that. And all of a sudden, these super bright satellites start moving around and, you know, doing their thing. So people are pretty mad about it. They're trying to like paint them to make them darker. They're putting little like sun hats on them to make them less reflective. But there's a lot of people that really hate them. I don't know. I don't know if Henry or Cherie have any opinions on bright satellites.
Human beings, I need us to stop being the trash pandas of the natural world. Like, we are leaving our coronavirus mess everywhere on the ground, and now we can't be decent enough to bring our space debris home. Are you serious? So what's the chance of any of this, like, just falling out of the sky? Like, just falling back to Earth?
It does, but it burns up in, like, re-entry. So actually what SpaceX is trying to do is they're trying to, like, make their satellites so that when they break, they like literally like force fall out of orbit. Because if they fall out of orbit, these things are so tiny that they would literally just burn right up and be totally gone. But, you know, that tech hasn't been around forever. So there's lots of pieces of stuff. And then those pieces bump into each other, break apart, make more pieces. They break into each other, make more pieces. So it would actually be better if they all started falling towards Earth, because they'd just burn up.
Okay. So, in short, people continue to be trash pandas. Cool, cool, cool.
Right, I'm going to challenge you, Henry. I know you've got something you want to get off your chest, but you've got 2 minutes. Can you do it?
I can do it. So let's start with the fact that The Dark Knight, the Batman movie, was a really good movie. But I'm just going to say that its influence upon the genre of comic book movies and superhero movies has been terrible because it led to the Martha gritty reboot era. And this is the week we're going to find out if Justice League's alternate cut, which has been long rumored, anybody who spends any time near comic book nerds on the internet has seen the terrible hashtag release the Snyder cut, because people are angry that Joss Whedon influenced Justice League and made it slightly less gritty and dark. And there's supposedly a 214-minute version of Justice League out there somewhere. And that might get announced for HBO Max and get released. There's a Man of Steel watch along, and it's under 2 minutes, I think. So, yeah, DC learned the wrong lessons from its best movie ever.
Well done, Henry.
I don't want a Snyder cut.
I don't want it. No one wants more Justice League. Like, go back to the Justice League cartoons and rewatch those. Those were perfect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my God, Justice League.
Well done, Henry, for getting through that so quickly. I feel like you're the most efficient chest offer that we've had so far. And it gave me time to, because I realized that my iPad was starting to really run out, so I had to go and run and find a charger. That was fun. So thank you very much for managing to keep us going through that. Right, that is all the time we've had today. It's been a fun one. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. Every time I get to this point, I remember I should have checked how many episodes it is. I'm going to guess at 12. Could be 11, could be 10, could be 12, 13. Henry, have you had a good time?
I've had a blast. This is better than anything I'd be doing normally right now, but it's also great to hang out with you fine folks and get to spread the good word of tech and streaming on the podcast airwaves.
That was very nice. I felt quite touched. Thank you very much. Cherie, are you okay? You feeling good?
I'm feeling good. My jaw is fine. And if you want more coverage on this and all things laptop, go to Laptop Mag. If you want to check me out, you can find me on Twitter at Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith 11. Same thing for Instagram. And Laptop Now, Laptop Then, Laptop Forever. It's the best. Feel free to stop by and see you sometime.
Well, now I have to offer it to Chelsea. Tell us about your life in terms of how to communicate with if they want to, what you do daily, where people can find out more.
Sure. Check out space.com for my articles and all of my coworkers' wonderful articles. I'm also doing Friday live videos leading up to this launch over on space.com, but I also do other videos for them. So yeah, space.com, or you can find me over on Twitter at Chelsea_Goad, G-O-H-D. And that's basically just me talking science trash and, you know, being a Twitter person. But yeah, check out space.com. It's totally sick. It's like 20, almost 21 years old. We're about to celebrate the site's legal drinking age, and we're all very excited.
Wow, Henry, can you beat that?
I can, because I have embarked on the weirdest excursion side project ever. So if you want to find me on the internet, you can find me at Henry T. Casey on every social media network except for Facebook. But if you want to hear Cherie and I talk about a very weird movie, there's a little podcast called C-E-N-A-P-H-I-L-E-S. That's how you spell it. It's called Cinephiles. Myself and Tom's Guide Editor-in-Chief Mike Andronico are reviewing the cinematic history of one WWE champion and Nickelodeon game show host John Cena. It's real, it's fantastic, and some of these movies, we've watched them to know that, make sure that you don't. Legendary is the one that Cherie guested on, and so yeah, if you want to follow the weird insanity that is the John Cena movies, we just reviewed a Scooby-Doo WrestleMania mystery, which is actually really good.
Oh, you should have bought me on that one. I love those.
It's actually a really good, it's really worth the whatever $3 to rent on Amazon. It's very joyful. But yeah, that's all my shenanigans.
I wish I'd known about that. I would have covered that more in this podcast. I mean, does John Cena have a huge catalog? Is this got a longevity to a podcast?
Oh, it's going to be a short form. I think we're going to have maybe 15 episodes at the most. It's all building up to Fast 9's release in 2021, where somehow John Cena is related to Vin Diesel as like half brothers or long lost brothers. There's some weird questionable DNA going on in there. It's going to happen. And Blockers is a really good movie that people should watch.
Well, thank you very much for that. And I think you should check out Cinephiles. That sounds like a genius name as well. Brilliant work.
Thank you.
I'm Gareth Beavis, obviously. You can find me as SuperBeav on Twitter. Check out techradar.com for all your gadgetry, features, reviews, tech needs all over the place. We do how-tos. We do lots of, like I said, video. Please do come and check us out. We're Tech Radar across all the socials as well. And this has been the Noise Cancelling Podcast. If you like us, please let us know. Please rate us well on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your pods. Give us 5 stars if we deserve it. Some people are, and it's really helping us. We want to get up the charts. That is the real goal. Everyone says the same thing, but I really want it. And why would you disappoint me? We are also part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Check out the other fine fare that is there. And it leaves me to say thank you very much, guys. It's been an awesome podcast, and I'll speak to some of you next week.
It's been awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
And bye from me.